Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Behind the Black, I'm John Batchelor. Here is Bob Zimmerman to update us on the long-awaited Starliner with passengers on board, delayed again. Bob, a very good evening to you. The delays here are a few days at a time. What is the explanation this time? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, I'm always very careful. People tend to want to pile on Boeing as a general rule, and the previous delay had to do with the rocket by ULA's Atlas V upper stage rocket. It had a valve issue. That was not Boeing, and so Boeing wasn't to be blamed for that. But that valve's been replaced. Everything's good. And they were going to launch on May 17th today. But they're not. Earlier this week, there was a problem this time with Boeing's Starliner capsule service module, the service module that attaches to the habitable portion of the capsule. There was a small helium leak in one of the thrusters of the attitude system of that service module. And helium is used as the gas to move things about because it's not combustible or toxic. But it is also very light, and therefore it can leak out pretty easily. And they detected the leak, and they decided to take a look and try to see if they can figure it out and make sure there's not going to be a problem. And so there was that produced a four-day delay. They're now targeting May 21st, next week, for the launch. I should point out that, yes, Boeing appears as a company to have enormous management quality control problems. I would say in this case they're doing correct due diligence. This is the first launch of this capsule with people on board. You want to make sure everything is right. If they were launching this 4 years ago when they were scheduled, and if Boeing didn't have all the problems it's had in so many different ways in the last few years, we probably would not even blink at this. We'd say, okay, it's a small thruster, helium leak. We've got to make sure we got it cleared up, and we wouldn't even blink. But in this case, we, of course, have focused on Boeing, and so we pay attention to it. But I do think they're doing the right job here to make sure everything's okay, and we'll wait for the launch.
Bob, when there are delays like this, do they call press conferences and take questions?
Yeah, and NASA usually does things like this. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do. My experience nowadays for the last 3 or 4 years is those press conferences are more times than not a waste of time. They spend the first, 30 minutes telling us how wonderful they are.
I know, but in this instance, it's a series of delays. I'm just wondering if they do a tech brief. These are with people.
If they did, I didn't pay any attention to it. Okay. Because there's not much details here. I have enough. It takes so much time.
All right, more satellite constellations. Let's move on to making money. AST Space Mobile. What is AST Space Mobile?
AST Space Mobile launched a satellite a few years ago, in 2022. And this satellite had the largest cross-section of any satellite that had ever been launched. And it was designed to test the concept of cell phone to satellite communications. Essentially, that satellite was a cell tower in orbit. And they were testing it to see if it would work with the plan to put up a 5-satellite constellation to provide smartphone companies, cell towers in space to cover all the dead zones that exist on the ground. And so that's what they did. I should point out that SpaceX has been adapting Starlink satellites for the same purpose. This is money to be made here, and AST Space Mobile is now making money on it. It signed the contract with AT&T for AT&T is going to use that new 5-satellite constellation when it launches this summer. And so what that means is the smartphones, when they can't find the cell tower on the ground, will go to the space and look for these satellites in orbit. I'll point out there's a side story here which has to do with these AST Space Mobile satellite with that giant cross-section and solar panels. It produces a lot of reflective light, and guess who's whining about it? The astronomers. Well, no, we might not be able to see a star or something, and, you know, that's a problem for them, but, you know, they should be getting their telescopes into space, and they wouldn't have this problem then.
Do we have a launch vehicle on this?
Yes. Well, you know, I actually, off the top of my head, I don't know, but they got scheduled for this summer. I don't know off the top of my head what that launch is.
Just guessing that it's not Blue Origin. All right, let's move on.
Oh, yo, there's no question of that. There's no guess there. It's either going to probably be, if I had to make a choice, it's either going to be SpaceX or Rocket Lab. That would be my first guess. Yeah, but it could be someone else.
The reason we depend on Blue Origin is it makes NASA look fast. Okay. NASA is taking on SpaceX with a man who's flown, what, three missions, Isaacman? Three?
No, Jared Isaacman, the billionaire, he's flown one mission on a Dragon capsule. It was an orbital mission. He has a contract with SpaceX for three more missions, two Dragon missions and then a mission on Starship. He has a program. He basically has his own space program with plans down the road. His next flight is going to be on a Dragon capsule, Resilience capsule. They are adapting that capsule so that they can open it while it's in orbit, and all the crew will be in spacesuits that can do EVAs, spacewalks, and Isaacman will then exit the capsule with a tether and be on a spacewalk, the first private citizen to do a spacewalk privately funded on a privately launched rocket, no government involvement. And he has proposed several years ago that in his second mission on a Dragon capsule of this program, that he use it to repair or upgrade Hubble, the space telescope. And NASA has been reviewing this. Now, there was an article in NPR that dug in and got Freedom of Information emails of the discussions going on in NASA about whether or not to do this. And though NPR spun this somewhat hostile to Jared Isaacman's proposal, in my reading of those emails and the discussions, it's pretty clear to me that NASA people and the science community are generally very enthusiastic about having Jared Isaacman's mission go on. They are enthusiastic, but they also want to make sure that it's not only done safely, no one gets hurt, but nothing's done to harm Hubble in any way, if at all possible. Even though Hubble desperately needs new gyroscopes and will not be as useful if they fail, they'd rather take, they don't want to take any chances with the telescope. And it's understandable reason. So they're reviewing this under great care. The proposal that seems to be moving about the community and Isaacman is to give this mission gyroscopes that they attached to, that were attached to the outside of Hubble. They would not swap out like the shuttle astronauts would do, because that's more complicated. They would just simply set up something which could attach it to the outside of Hubble, and they would then create connections to the telescope itself, and that would give Hubble new gyroscopes. That's at least what's being discussed. I think this whole mission will depend, whether it flies or not, or even they proceed with this, depending on Isaacman's spacewalk mission this summer. NASA says its review is ongoing, and they will release it sometime this summer, which tells me that they're waiting to see how the Isaacman spacewalk goes. If it goes well and all the pieces seem to work, they will then consider the idea of upgrading his next mission to a Hubble mission. And that'll be pretty exciting, John.
Hubble is a wholly owned feature of the United States government, right? So the reluctance to allow a private citizen to touch government property.
Yeah, of course. One of the issues here that NPR focused on, I think it's not as important an issue, is that some people within the NASA and scientific community feel threatened by Isaacman and don't want this to happen because it's not their turf. It's invading their turf. There are some people like that, but I don't think they're very important. Most of the people there want to just save the telescope. And if someone can come along and do it at no cost to the government, they're willing to do it. So, because Isaacman is going to pay for the mission. He's not asking NASA for any money. He wants to pay for it. So those people, I think they'll complain, but I think they don't carry much weight. The people involved in this are just simply trying to rationally figure out whether it makes sense to do.
All right, the FAA authorization bill. What is the significance of that, Bob?
Every once in a while, Congress passes a somewhat meaningless bill called the Authorization Bill, which authorizes an agency to continue to do what it's doing. And one of the aspects of this Authorization Bill is that back in 2004, when the Commercial Space Amendments Act was passed for safety, new space companies, so I think like Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic and other companies like Dragon and SpaceX, they could not regulate with great seriousness. They had to let these companies experiment because they were experimental spacecraft. Now, that eight-year extension, that eight-year learning period has been extended multiple times since then, and it was going to run out this year. So this new authorization bill has extended the learning period for an extra few months till the end of this year, which is pretty meaningless. So they're going to have to address it again. I personally think this learning period doesn't exist anymore. Based on the amount of regulatory burden that the FAA has been putting on SpaceX and Rocket Lab and a bunch of other new companies in the last two or three years, I think there is no learning period. They're not holding back. They're regulating very harsh right now. And in fact, I'm getting the sense that American rocket industry is beginning to fall behind the Europeans at this moment in time because of that.
Because of the FAA alone?
That's part of the regulatory burden that's being put on them. Yes, I think that's partly.
But there are other agencies. There are other agencies. We talk about Boca Chica all the time because of environmental concerns.
No, but in this case, this is the FAA. Because launch license, I'm giving you an example. I have sources that tell me a new rocket company that has not launched yet wants to launch out of an old launch pad at Vandenberg, which has been used before and been used for years. And the FAA's new regulatory framework that the Biden administration put forth that was supposed to simplify everything is making them wait like years plus while they review the safety of launching from that pad, even though some pads has been used before by the government. So and that's just an example that I've seen. And so I'm getting the impression that, and I've noticed the slowdown in all these new rocket companies in the United States. They were really going gung-ho, a lot of them, 2-3 years ago. And now we're seeing very little activity right now. So I'm beginning to wonder. Beginning to wonder.
It's a good wonder because we've seen unexplained delays in other countries. I'm thinking of Great Britain, for example. And they have a very heavy civil servant regulatory hand in Britain.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that would explain. Also could be investor. It could be.
I'm not trying to say it's all that, because I've also been told by a lot of people in the industry that a lot of the investor money has kind of dried up. But these companies have investor capital in their hands already, and they're not going. Things have slowed down. You'd think they'd be launching. And so why aren't they launching? So there's something going on here. It's complicated, but this is a factor I think involved. So I don't think this learning period means anything. I also think that even if it does mean a little bit, that the extensions have been getting shorter and shorter and shorter means there's more and more opposition in Congress, mostly from the Democrats, to extending it, which means I think it's going to go away anyway. And then we're in this really, there'll be no doubt about it. The space industry will be hindered a great deal by regulatory burdens.
A private satellite has taken a picture of the ISS. Is that illegal, Bob?
No, there's something called the First Amendment. You're not supposed to be able to tell anyone what they can photograph. But this company, HEO Robotics, they have satellites in orbit who are designed to take pictures of things in orbit for the case of tracking, for space junk catalogization, for things like damaged space satellites. Companies will want to know how it was damaged and why, and they can take photographs of it. So to demonstrate their capabilities, they've done this with those satellites before. They took a picture of ISS. I've got that picture posted on Behind the Black. It's kind of cool. You can see the structure. You can see the main truss where the solar panels and the radiators are. You can see the main habitable modules that go at right angles to that. You can see a Soyuz or a Progress freighter docked, as well as the Dragon capsule. It's a very good picture. It's pretty remarkable. And they took this picture from 43 miles away, and they were relative speeds between the two with 3.7 miles per second. So it's pretty good. And this just demonstrates the capability of their private constellation for providing imagery to governments and other companies.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Beck.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to five pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.